Recorded Books presents an unabridged recording of Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Roderick Rules, by Jeff Kenney, narrated by Ramon de Ocampo.
September. Monday. I guess Mom was pretty proud of herself for making me write in that journal last year, because now she went and bought me another one. But remember how I said that if some jerk caught me carrying a book with diary on the cover, they were going to get the wrong idea? Well, that's exactly what happened today. My brother Roderick caught me with it. Now that he knows I have another journal, I better remember to keep this one locked up. Roderick actually got a hold of my last journal a few weeks back, and it was a disaster. But don't even get me started on that story. Even without my Roderick problems, my summer was pretty lousy. Our family didn't go anywhere or do anything fun, and that's Dad's fault. Dad made me join the swim team again, and he wanted to make sure I didn't miss any meets this year. Dad's got this idea that I'm destined to be a great swimmer or something, so that's why he makes me join the team every summer. At my first swim meet a couple of years ago, Dad told me that when the umpire shot off the starter pistol, I was supposed to dive in and start swimming. But what he didn't tell me was that the starter gun only fired blanks. So I was a whole lot more worried about where the bullet was going to land than I was about getting myself to the other end of the pool, so I just dove to the bottom. Even after Dad explained the whole starter pistol concept to me, I was still the worst swimmer on the team. But I did end up winning Most Improved at the awards banquet at the end of the summer. That's only because there was a 10-minute difference between my first race and my last one. So I guess Dad's still waiting for me to live up to my potential. In a lot of ways, being on the swim team was worse than being in middle school. First of all, we had to be at the pool by 7:30 every morning, and the water was always freezing cold. And second of all, we were all crammed into two lanes, so I always had somebody on my tail trying to get around me. The reason we had to use two lanes was because swim practice was at the same time as the water jazz class. I actually tried to convince Dad to let me do water jazz instead of swim team, but he wouldn't go for it. This was the first summer the coach let us boys wear swim trunks instead of those skimpy racing trunks. But Mom said Roderick's hand-me-down bathing suit was perfectly fine. She said, "Your friends will be jealous because you'll be so fast." Yeah, right. They had a good laugh on me. After swim practice, Roderick would pick me up in his band's van. Mom had this crazy idea that if me and Roderick spent quality time on the ride home every day, we wouldn't fight as much. But all it did was make things a lot worse. Roderick was always a half hour late picking me up, and he wouldn't let me sit up front. He said the chlorine would ruin his seat, even though the van is something like 15 years old. Roderick's van doesn't actually have any seats in the back, so I had to squeeze in with all the band equipment. And every time the van came to a stop, I had to pray I didn't get my head taken off by one of Roderick's drums. I ended up walking home every day instead of getting a ride from Roderick. I figured it was better to just walk the 2 miles than to get brain damage riding in the back of that van. Halfway through the summer, I decided I was pretty much done with swim team. So I came up with a trick to get out of practice. I'd swim a few laps, and then I'd ask the coach if I could use the bathroom. Then, I'd just hide out in the locker room until practice was over. The only problem with my plan was that it was something like 40 degrees in the boys' bathroom, so it was even colder in there than it was in the pool. I had to wrap myself up in toilet paper so I didn't get hypothermia. That's how I spent a pretty big chunk of my summer vacation, and that's why I'm actually looking forward to going back to school tomorrow. Tuesday. When I got to school today, everybody was acting all strange around me, and at first, I didn't know what was up. Then I remembered. I still had The cheese touch from last year. I got the cheese touch in the last week of school, and over the summer I completely forgot about it. The problem with the cheese touch is that you've got it until you pass it on to someone else. But nobody would even get within 30 feet of me, so I knew I was going to be stuck with the cheese touch for the whole school year. Luckily, there was a new kid named Jeremy Pindle in homeroom, so that took care of that problem. He got the cheese touch so fast, he didn't know what hit him. My first class was pre-algebra, and the teacher put me right next to Alex Aruda, the smartest kid in the whole class. Alex is super easy to copy off of, because he always finishes his test early and puts his paper down on the floor next to him. So if I ever get in a pinch, it's nice to know I can count on Alex to bail me out. Kids whose last names start with the first few letters of the alphabet get called on the most by the teacher, and that's why they end up being the smartest. Some people think that's not true, but if you want to come down to my school, I can prove it. Just look at Christopher Ziegel. I can only think of one kid who broke the last name rule, and that's Peter Udiger. Peter was the smartest kid in the class all the way up until the fifth grade. That's when a bunch of us started giving him a hard time about how his initials sounded when you said them out loud. P-U, P-U, P-U. These days, Peter doesn't raise his hand at all, and he's pretty much a C student. I guess I feel a little bad about the whole P-U thing and what happened to Peter, but it's hard not to take credit whenever it comes up. Anyway, today I got pretty decent seats in all my classes except 7th period history. My teacher is Mr. Huff, and something tells me he had Roderick as a student a few years back. He put me in a chair next to his desk. Wednesday. Mom has been making me and Roderick help out more around the house, and now the two of us are responsible for doing the dishes every night. The rule is that we're not allowed to watch any TV or play video games until all the dishes are done. But let me just say that Roderick is the worst dishes partner in the world. As soon as dinner is over, he goes upstairs to the bathroom and camps out there for an hour. And by the time he comes back downstairs, I'm already done. But if I ever complain to Mom and Dad, Roderick always pulls out the same lame excuse. He says, "My body is on a schedule." I think Mom and Dad are too worried about my little brother, Manny, to get involved in a fight between me and Roderick right now anyway. Yesterday, Manny drew a picture at daycare, and Mom and Dad got really upset when they found it in his backpack. It was of two angry yelling people and one little crying guy. Mom and Dad thought the picture was supposed to be of them, so now they're acting all lovey in front of Manny. "I love you so much." "And I love you so much." I knew who it was really supposed to be in the picture. Me and Roderick. We got into a big blowout over the remote control the other night, and Manny was there to witness the whole thing. But Mom and Dad don't need to find out about that. Thursday. Another reason my summer was kind of lame was because my best friend, Rowley, was on vacation pretty much the whole time. I think he went to South America or something. But to be honest with you, I'm not really sure. I don't know if this makes me a bad person or whatever, but it's hard for me to get interested in other people's vacations. Besides, it seems like Rowley's family is always traveling to some crazy place in the world, and I can never keep their trips straight. The other reason I don't care about Rowley's trips is because whenever Rowley comes back from one of his vacations, he always crams it down my throat. Last year, Rowley and his family went to Australia for 10 days, but from the way he acted when he got back, you'd think he lived there his whole life. He came over to see me, and when I opened the door, he said, "G'day, mate." Another thing that's really annoying is that whenever Rowley goes to some new country, he gets into whatever fad is going on over there. Like when Rowley got back from Europe 2 years ago, he got hooked on this pop singer named Joshi, who I guess is some huge star or something. So Rowley came back with his bags full of Joshi CDs and posters and stuff. I took one look at the picture on the CD and told Rowley that Joshi was supposed to be for 6-year-old girls, but he didn't believe me. Rowley said I was just jealous because he was the one who discovered Joshi. And what made it really irritating was that now this guy was Rowley's new hero. So if I ever tried to say anything critical at all, Rowley didn't want to hear it. He'd say things like, "Joshi says you should respect your parents and follow your dreams." Speaking of foreign countries, today in French class, Madame Lefrere told us we're going to be choosing pen pals this year. When Roderick was in middle school, he had a 17-year-old girl from Holland as his pen pal. I know, because I've seen the letters in his junk drawer. One said, "I like the sunshiny days and ice cream. Do you too?" Signed with a heart. When Madame Lefrere handed out the forms, I made sure I checked off the boxes that would get me a pen pal just like Roderick's. But after Madame Lefrere read over my form, she made me start over and pick again. She said I had to choose a boy who is my age and he has to be French. So I don't exactly have high hopes for my pen pal experience. Friday. Mom decided to start making Roderick pick me up after school, just like he picked me up after swim practice. I guess that means she didn't learn from that experience. But I did. So when Roderick picked me up today, I asked him to please take it easy on the brakes. Roderick said okay, but then he went out of his way to find every speed bump in town. Ouch. When I got out of the van, I called Roderick a big jerk, and then it got physical. Mom saw the whole thing unfold from the living room window. Mom made us come inside, and she sat us down at the kitchen table. Then she said me and Roderick were going to have to settle our differences in a civil manner. Mom told me and Roderick we each had to write down what we did wrong, and then we had to draw a picture to go along with it. And I knew exactly where Mom was going with that idea. Mom used to be a preschool teacher, and whenever a kid would do something wrong, she'd make him draw a picture of it. I guess the idea was to make the kid feel ashamed of what he did so he wouldn't do it again. Well, Mom's idea might have worked great on a bunch of 4-year-olds, but she's gonna have to think of something better if she wants me and Roderick to get along. The truth is, Roderick can pretty much treat me any way he wants, because he knows there's nothing I can do about it. See, Roderick is the only one who knows about this really embarrassing thing that happened to me over the summer, and he's been holding it over my head ever since. So if I ever tell on him for anything, he'll spill my secret to the whole world. I just wish I had some dirt on him to even things out. I do know one embarrassing thing about Roderick, but I don't think it's going to do me any good. When Roderick was a sophomore, he was sick the day they did school photos. So Mom told Dad to mail in Roderick's freshman picture for the school to use in the yearbook. Don't ask me how Dad screwed this up, but he sent in Roderick's second grade picture. And believe it or not, it actually got printed. Unfortunately, Roderick was smart enough to rip that page out of his yearbook. So if I'm ever going to find something to use against him, I guess I have to keep digging. Wednesday. Ever since Mom assigned the dishes to me and Roderick, Dad's been going down to the furnace room after dinner to work on this miniature Civil War battlefield of his. Dad spends at least 3 hours a night down there working on that thing. I think Dad would be happy to spend the whole weekend working on his battlefield, but Mom has other plans for him. Mom likes to rent these romantic comedies, and she makes Dad watch them with her. But I know Dad is just waiting for the first chance to break away and go back down to the basement. Whenever Dad can't be down in the furnace room, he makes sure us kids keep away from it. Dad won't let me or Roderick go near his battlefield, because he thinks we're going to mess something up. And earlier today, I overheard Dad say something to Manny to make sure he doesn't go poking around back there either. Can you believe it? He actually said, "I think I just heard some grunting noises coming from the furnace room." Saturday. Rowley came over to my house today. Dad doesn't like it when Rowley comes over, because Dad always says Rowley is accident-prone. I think it's because this one time Rowley was eating dinner here, and he dropped a plate and broke it. So now Dad has this idea that Rowley is going to ruin his whole Civil War battlefield in one klutzy move. Whenever Rowley comes over to my house these days, he gets the same greeting.
The basement is off limits.
Rowley's dad doesn't like me either. That's why I don't go over to his house much anymore. The last time I spent the night at Rowley's, we watched this movie where some kids taught themselves a secret language that no grown-ups could understand. Me and Rowley thought that was pretty cool, and we tried to figure out how to talk in the same language the kids were using in the movie. But we couldn't really get the hang of it, so we made up our own secret language. Then, I tried it out at dinner. Your pa dad pa smells pa like pa a woman pa. But Rowley's dad must have cracked our code, because I ended up getting sent home before dessert. And I haven't been invited to spend the night at Rowley's ever since. When Rowley came over to my house today, he brought a bunch of pictures from his trip with him. He said the best part of his vacation was when they went on a river safari, and he showed me all these blurry pictures of birds and stuff. Now, I've been to the Wild Kingdom amusement park a bunch of times, and they have this river rapids ride where they have these awesome robot animals like gorillas and dinosaurs. If you ask me, Rowley's parents should have just saved their money and taken him there instead. I asked Rowley, "Did you see any sharks fighting giant tarantulas on your safari?" And he said, "No, and sharks don't fight tarantulas." "Well, at Wild Kingdom they do." But of course, Rowley didn't want to hear about my experiences, so he just gathered up his pictures and went back home. Tonight after dinner, Mom made Dad watch one of the movies she rented. But Dad really wanted to work on his Civil War battlefield. When Mom got up to go to the bathroom, Dad stuffed a bunch of pillows under the blanket on his side of the bed to make it look like he was asleep. Mom didn't find out about Dad's decoy until after the movie was over. Sure enough, she found him downstairs. She made Dad come to bed, even though it was only 8:30. And now Manny sleeps in Mom and Dad's bed, because he's afraid of the monster that lives in the furnace room. Tuesday. I thought I was done hearing about Rowley's trip, but I was wrong. Yesterday, our social studies teacher asked Rowley to tell the class all about his vacation, and today he came to school wearing this ridiculous costume. But what was even worse was when some girls came up to Rowley at lunch and started kissing his butt, asking about his trip to South America. But then I realized maybe that wasn't such a bad thing after all. So I started parading Rowley around the cafeteria, because after all, he is my best friend. Saturday. Dad has been taking me to the mall every Saturday for the past few weeks. At first, I thought it was because he wanted to spend more time with me. But then I realized he's just making sure he's out of the house for Roderick's band practices, which I can totally understand. Roderick and his heavy metal band practice in the basement on weekends. The lead singer of the band is this guy named Bill Walter, and me and Dad bumped into Bill on the way out the door today.
"Morning, Mr. Heffley," Bill said.
Bill doesn't have a job, and he still lives with his parents, even though he's 35 years old. I'm pretty sure Dad's worst fear is that Roderick is going to see Bill as some kind of role model, and that Roderick will want to follow in Bill's footsteps. So whenever Dad sees Bill, It just puts him in a bad mood for the rest of the day. The reason Roderick invited Bill to be in his band was because Bill got voted most likely to be a rock star when he was in high school, along with Anna Rentham. That hasn't really worked out for Bill yet, and I think I heard Anna Rentham is in prison. Anyway, me and Dad went to the mall for a few hours today, but when we got back, Roderick's band practice wasn't over yet. You could hear the guitars and drums from a block away, and there were a bunch of random teenagers hanging out in our driveway. I guess they must have heard the music coming out of the basement and got drawn to it, sort of like how moths get drawn to a light. When Dad saw all those teenagers in the driveway, he totally freaked out. Dad ran inside to call the cops, but Mom stopped him before he could dial 911. Mom said those teenagers weren't doing any harm and that they were just appreciating Roderick's music. But I don't even know how she could say that with a straight face. And if you ever heard Roderick's band, you'd know what I mean. Dad couldn't relax with all those teenagers out in our driveway. So Dad went upstairs and got his boombox. Then he put in a classical music CD and let it play. And you would not believe how quickly the driveway cleared out after that. Dad was pretty proud of himself for thinking up that one. But Mom accused him of getting rid of Roderick's fans on purpose. Dad said, "What? I can't enjoy my music too?" Sunday. Today on the car ride to church, I was making faces at Manny, trying to get him to laugh. I made this one face that made Manny laugh so hard that apple juice came out of his nose. But then Mom said, "You could have killed him." Well, once Mom put that thought in Manny's head, it was all over. He started to bawl. See, this is the reason I keep my distance from Manny. Every time I try to have a little fun with him, I end up regretting it. I remember when I was younger, and Mom and Dad told me I was getting a little brother, I was really excited. After all those years of getting pushed around by Roderick, I was definitely ready to move up a notch on the totem pole. But Mom and Dad have always been super protective of Manny, and they won't let me lay a finger on him, even if he totally deserves it. Like the other day, I plugged in my video game system and it wouldn't start. I opened it up and found out that Manny had stuffed a chocolate chip cookie in the disk drive. And of course, Manny used the same excuse he always uses when he breaks my stuff. "I'm only 3. I really wanted to let Manny have it, but I couldn't do anything with Mom standing right there. Mom said she would have a talk with Manny, and they went downstairs. A half hour later, they came back up to my room, and Manny was holding something in his hands. He said, "I'm sorry, Bobby," and handed it to me. It was a ball of tinfoil with a bunch of toothpicks sticking out of it. Don't ask me how that was supposed to make up for my broken video game system. I went to throw the stupid thing away, but Mom wouldn't even let me do that. She said, "Your brother made that for you." The first chance I get, that thing's going in the trash. Because mark my words, if I don't get rid of it, I'm going to end up sitting on it. Even though Manny drives me totally nuts, there is one reason I like having him around. Ever since Manny started talking, Roderick has stopped making me sell chocolate bars for his school fundraisers. And believe me, I'm grateful for that. He makes Manny do it because he's cute. Before, Roderick would make me go up to a house and say, "Hello, sir. Would you like to help support?"
"Not interested."
And the door would slam in my face. Now, Manny goes up to houses.
"Would you like some chocolates?"
"How precious."
And they fork over their dough. Monday. Madame Lefrere made us write our first pen pal letters today. I got assigned to this kid named Mamadou Montpierre, and I guess he lives someplace in France. I know I'm supposed to write in French and Mamadou is supposed to write in English, but to be honest with you, writing in a foreign language is pretty hard. So I really don't see the need for both of us to stress out over this whole pen pal thing. My first letter to him said, Dear Mamadou, first of all, I think we should both just write in English to keep things simple. By the way, remember how I said I was going to end up sitting on Manny's spiky tinfoil ball thing? Well, I was half right. Rowley came over today to play video games, and he ended up sitting on it. I'm actually kind of relieved, to be honest with you. I lost track of that thing a couple of days ago, and I'm just glad it finally turned up. And in all the commotion, I threw Manny's gift in the garbage. But something tells me Mom wouldn't have stopped me this time. Wednesday. Roderick has an English paper due tomorrow, and Mom's actually making him do it himself for once. Roderick doesn't know how to type, so he usually writes his papers out on notebook paper and then hands them off to Dad. But when Dad reads over Roderick's work, he finds all sorts of factual errors. Like, well, for starters, Abraham Lincoln didn't write To Kill a Mockingbird. Roderick doesn't really care about the mistakes, so he tells Dad to just go ahead and type the paper like it is. But Dad can't stand typing a paper with errors in it, so he just rewrites Roderick's paper from scratch. And then a couple days later, Roderick brings his graded paper home and acts like he did it himself. This has been going on for a few years, and I guess Mom decided she's going to put an end to it. So tonight she told Dad that Roderick was going to have to do his own work this time around, and that Dad wasn't allowed to help out. Roderick went in the computer room after dinner, and you could hear him typing about one letter a minute. I could tell the sound of Roderick typing was driving Dad totally bananas. On top of that, Roderick would come out of the computer room every 10 minutes and ask Dad some dumb question, like, Where's the space bar again? After a couple of hours, Dad finally cracked. Dad waited for Mom to go to bed, and then he typed Roderick's whole paper for him. So I guess this means Roderick's system is safe. At least for now. I have a book report due tomorrow, but I'm really not sweating it. I found the secret to doing book reports a long time ago. I've been milking the same book for the past 5 years. Sherlock Sammy Does It Again. There are about 20 short stories in Sherlock Sammy Does It Again, but I just treat each story like it's a whole book, and the teacher never notices. These Sherlock Sammy stories are all the same. Some grown-up commits a crime, and then Sherlock Sammy figures it out and makes the person look stupid. I'm kind of an expert at writing book reports by now. All you have to do is write exactly what the teacher wants to hear, and you're all set. Things like, Man, Sherlock Sammy is so smart, and I'll bet that's because he reads so many books. And the teacher would comment on my paper, I'll bet you're right. There were a bunch of hard words in this book, but I looked them up in the dictionary, so now I know what they mean. I guess you're a bit of a sleuth yourself. A+. October. Monday. There was a kid named Chirag Gupta who was one of my friends last year, but he moved away in June. His family had a big going-away party, and the whole neighborhood came. But I guess Chirag's family must have changed their mind, because today Chirag was back in school. Everyone was happy to see Chirag again, but a couple of us decided to have a little fun with him before officially welcoming him back. So we basically pretended he was still gone. We go, Boy, I sure do miss Chirag. Yeah, I wonder how he's doing. And he'd go, Hey guys, I'm right here. I have to admit, it was pretty funny. At lunch, Chirag sat next to me. I had an extra chocolate chip cookie in my lunch bag, and I made a big deal about it. I said, I wish Chirag was here. Oh, how he loved chocolate chip cookies. I'm not even that hungry. And Chirag said, But I'm sitting right next to you. Okay, so maybe that one was a little cruel. I guess we'll probably let Chirag off the hook tomorrow. But then again, this invisible Chirag thing could turn into the next PU. Tuesday. Okay, so the invisible Chirag joke is still going, and the whole class is in on it now. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself or anything, but I think I might have class clown in the bag for dreaming this one up. In science, the teacher asked me to count the number of kids in the classroom so she'd know how many pairs of safety goggles to get out of the closet. So I made a big show of counting everyone in the room except Chirag. 33. 34. There are 34 people in this class. Well, that really set Chirag off. He got up and started yelling, and it was really hard to stare straight ahead and act like he wasn't there. He screamed in my face, "I am a human being, too." I wanted to tell him that we never said he wasn't a human being. It's just that he's an invisible human being. But I managed to keep my mouth shut. Before you go and say I'm a bad friend for teasing Chirag, let me just say this in my own defense. I am smaller than about 95% of the kids at my school, so when it comes to finding someone I can actually pick on, my options are pretty limited. And besides, I'm not 100% to blame for dreaming up this idea. Believe it or not, I got the idea from Mom. This one time, when I was a kid, I was playing under the kitchen table, and Mom came looking for me. Has anyone seen Gregory? I don't know what made me do it, but I decided to play a joke on Mom and stay hidden. Mom went all around the house calling my name. I think she must have finally seen me under the kitchen table, but she still pretended she didn't know where I was. She looked out the window and sighed. Poor Gregory, all alone in the snow. I thought it was pretty funny, and I probably would have stayed hidden under there for a little while more. But Mom finally got me to crack when she said she was going to give my gumball machine to Roderick. So if you want to point fingers on the invisible Chirag joke, now you know who's really to blame. Thursday. Well, yesterday, Chirag pretty much gave up on trying to get anyone in our class to talk to him. But today, he found our weakness. He came up to Rowley and said, "Rowley, do you think I exist?" And the idiot said back, "Nope. I can't even hear you or see you." I forgot all about Rowley. When the joke first started up, I made sure to keep him away from Chirag, because I had a feeling Rowley would blow the joke. But I guess I kind of got too cocky and let my guard down. Chirag started working on Rowley at lunch, and he came really close to getting him to crack. He told Rowley, "If you say I exist, this corn dog is yours." I could tell Rowley was about to say something, so I had to act quick. I told everyone there was a floating corn dog hovering above our lunch table, and then I plucked it out of the air and ate it in two bites. So, thanks to my quick thinking, we were able to keep the joke going. But that really made Chirag mad. He started punching my arm, but of course I had to pretend like I didn't notice. And let me tell you, that wasn't easy to do. Chirag might be small, but that kid can really punch. Friday. Well, I guess Chirag must have complained to a teacher about my little joke, because today I got called down to the front office. When I got to Vice Principal Roy's room, he was pretty mad. He knew all about how I started the joke, and he gave me a speech about respect and decency and all that. But luckily, Mr. Roy got one crucial fact wrong, and that was the identity of the person we were playing the joke on. So that made the apology part a whole lot easier. Sharif was confused when I said, "I am deeply sorry, and now I do indeed admit that you exist, Sharif." Mr. Roy seemed pretty satisfied with my apology, and he let me go without even tacking on any detention. I've always heard that when Mr. Roy is done chewing a kid out, he sends them off with a pat on the back and a lollipop. and now I can tell you firsthand that it's true. Saturday. Rowley's birthday party is tomorrow, so Mom took me to the mall to get him a gift. I picked out this cool video game that just came out, and I handed it to Mom so she could pay for it. But Mom said I had to buy it with my own money. I told Mom that first of all, I have zero money. And second of all, if I did have any money, I wouldn't be wasting it on Rowley. Mom didn't seem too happy with what I said, but it's not my fault I'm broke. I actually had a job this summer, but the people I worked for stiffed me, so I didn't earn a single penny. We have these neighbors named the Fullers who live a few doors up, and they go away on vacation every summer. They usually leave their dog Princess in the kennel, but this year, they told me they'd pay me $5 a day to feed Princess and take her out. I figured I'd earn enough to buy a whole pile of video games with that kind of money. But I guess Princess is gun-shy about going to the bathroom in front of strangers, so I ended up spending a lot of time standing around in the hot sun waiting for this dumb dog to hurry up and go. I'd wait and wait, and nothing would happen, and then I'd just take Princess back inside. But every time I'd leave, Princess would make a big mess in the foyer, and I'd have to clean it up the next day. Toward the end of the summer, I got smart and realized it would be a whole lot easier to just clean up all of Princess's messes at once instead of doing it every single day. So I fed her and let her do her business on the foyer floor for about 2 weeks. Then, the day before the Fullers were due back, I headed up the hill with all my cleaning supplies. But guess what? The Fullers cut their trip short and got home a day early. I guess they didn't know it's polite to call ahead and let people know when your plans have changed. Tonight, Mom called a house meeting with me and Roderick. She said that the two of us are always complaining that we don't have any money, so she came up with a way for us to earn some cash. Then she pulled out some play money she must have dug up out of a board game, and she called the money Mom Bucks. Mom said we could earn Mom Bucks by doing chores and good deeds and stuff like that, and we could trade them in for real money. Mom handed us $1,000 each to get us started. I thought I had struck it rich, but then she explained that each Mom Buck was only worth a penny of real money. Mom told us how we should save up our Mom Bucks, and if we were patient, we could buy something we really wanted. But Roderick cashed in his whole stash before Mom was even done talking. Then he went down to the convenience store and blew his money on some heavy metal magazines. If Roderick wants to waste his money like that, he can go right ahead. But I'm going to be smart with my Mom Bucks. Sunday. Today was Rowley's birthday party, and he had it at the mall. I'm sure I would have thought it was a lot of fun if I was about 7 years old. That was the average age of the kids at Rowley's party. Rowley invited his whole karate team, and most of those kids are still in elementary school. I just wish I would have known what the party was going to be like so I could have skipped it. We started off playing these dopey party games, like pin the tail on the donkey and stuff like that. The last game we played was hide and seek. My plan was to just hide in the ball pit and stay there until the party was over. But some other kid was already in there. It turned out this kid wasn't from Rowley's party. He was from the last birthday party that happened an hour earlier. I guess he must have hidden there during hide and seek, and nobody ever found him. So Rowley's party had to be put on hold while the staff tried to track down this kid's parents. After that situation got cleared up, we had cake and watched Rowley open his gifts. He mostly got a bunch of kids' toys, but he seemed pretty happy about it. Then, Rowley's parents gave him their present. And guess what? It was a diary. It kind of ticked me off, because I knew Rowley asked his parents for a diary so he could be just like me. After Rowley opened his present, he said, "We can call ourselves the Diary Twins." I let him know exactly what I thought of that idea by slugging him in the arm. and I really don't care that it was his birthday either. One thing I will say, though, I used to be mad at Mom for getting me a journal that looked too girly. But after seeing Rowley's diary, I'm not so mad anymore. It actually said, Sweet Secrets Diary, and had hearts on the cover. Lately, Rowley has been totally riding me. He reads the same comic books I read, drinks the same kind of soda I drink, you name it. Mom says I should be flattered. But to be honest with you, it's totally creeping me out. A couple days ago, I did an experiment to see just how far Rowley would go. I rolled up one of my pant legs and tied a bandana around my ankle and went to school that way. Sure enough, the next day, Rowley came to school wearing the same exact thing. And that's how I ended up in Vice Principal Roy's office for the second time in a week. An old lady had called up claiming there were some thugs outside her house sporting gang colors. Monday. I thought I was totally in the clear for the invisible Chirag thing, but boy was I wrong. Tonight, Mom got a call from Chirag's dad. Mr. Gupta told Mom all about the prank we were playing on his son and how I was the ringleader. When Mom questioned me, I told her I didn't even know what Chirag's dad was talking about. Then Mom marched me up to Rowley's house to hear what he had to say. Luckily, I was prepared for this kind of thing. I had already drilled Rowley on what to do if we ever got busted, and that if we both just denied everything, we'd be okay. But the second Mom started asking Rowley questions, he broke down. So after our visit to Rowley's house, Mom drove me over to Chirag's to apologize. And let me tell you, that wasn't a whole lot of fun. Mr. Gupta didn't seem too impressed with my apology. But believe it or not, Chirag was actually pretty cool about it. After I apologized, Chirag invited me inside to play video games. I think he was so relieved to finally have one of his classmates talking to him again that he just decided to forgive me for the whole incident. So, I guess I forgive him too. Tuesday. Even though Chirag let me off the hook last night, Mom wasn't done with me yet. She wasn't really that mad about the joke or how I treated Chirag. She was just mad that I lied about it. So Mom told me she'll ground me for a month if she catches me lying again. And that means I better watch my step, because Mom's not going to forget what she said. When it comes to my screw-ups, Mom has a memory like an elephant. Like the other day, when I went to the refrigerator, Mom said, That's the second time you've tracked mud into the kitchen. The first time? 6 years ago. Last year, Mom caught me lying, and I paid the price for it. Mom made a gingerbread house a week before Christmas, and she put it on top of the refrigerator. She said nobody was allowed to touch it until Christmas Eve dinner. But I couldn't help myself. So every night, I'd sneak downstairs and pick off a little piece of the gingerbread house. I tried to only eat a tiny piece each time so Mom wouldn't notice. It was really hard to limit myself to one gumdrop or one little crumb of gingerbread each night, but I managed to do it anyway. I didn't know how much I had actually eaten until Mom took it down off the fridge on Christmas Eve. When Mom accused me of eating all the candy, I denied it. But I wish I just fessed up right away, because that fib totally backfired on me. Mom had just gotten hired to write a parenting column for the local newspaper, and she was always looking for material. So that incident pretty much made me into a local celebrity. The article was called, When Your Child is Being Deceptive, by Susan Heffley. You know, now that I think about it, Mom isn't exactly squeaky clean when it comes to being honest herself. I remember when I was a kid, and she found out I wasn't brushing my teeth every night. She faked a call to the dentist office. I heard her on the phone saying, Dr. Kratz, do you have dentures for little boys? Oh, only wooden ones? I guess that'll have to do then. And that call is the reason why I still brush my teeth 4 times a day. Friday. Well, it's been 3 days and I've kept my promise to Mom. I've been 100% honest the whole time, and believe it or not, it's not that hard. In fact, it's kind of liberating. I've been in a couple of situations already where I was a lot more honest than I would have been a week ago. For example, the other day I had a conversation with this neighborhood kid named Sean Snella. He had said, "When I grow up, I'm going to be a professional basketball player." And I had to tell him, "Think again, Sean. Neither one of your parents is taller than 5'2", and you're the only 200-pound 6-year-old I know." Sean cried, but I couldn't tell a lie. And yesterday, Rowley's family had a birthday party for his grandfather. He had said,
"Next year, I want a chocolate cake."
And I had to tell him, "That is if you're alive next year." Hey, I was just trying to be realistic. Most people don't seem to appreciate a person as honest as me, so don't ask me how George Washington ever got to be president. Saturday. Today I answered the phone, and it was Mrs. Gilman from the PTA looking for Mom. I tried to hand her the phone, but she whispered for me to tell Mrs. Gilman that she wasn't home. I couldn't tell if Mom was trying to trick me into lying or what, but there was no way I was going to break my honesty streak over something as dumb as this. So I made Mom go out on the front porch before I said, "My mother is not inside the house right now." And from the look Mom gave me when she came back in the house, I kind of get the feeling she's not going to hold me to that honesty pledge anymore. Monday. Today was career day at school. They have career day every year to get us kids to start thinking about our future. They brought in a bunch of adults who had all these different jobs. I think the idea is that us kids will find out about a job we like, and then we'll know what we want to be when we grow up. But what really happens is that you just find out which jobs to rule out, because some of these grown-ups are such geeks. After the presentations, we had to fill out these questionnaires. The first question was, "Where do you see yourself in 15 years?" I know exactly where I'll be in 15 years. In my pool, at my mansion, counting my money. But there weren't any checkboxes for that option. The questionnaires are supposed to predict what kind of job you're going to have when you grow up. When I was finished, I looked up my job on the chart, and I got clerk. Well, there must be something wrong with the way they set these forms up or something, because I don't know any clerks who are billionaires. Some other kids were unhappy with the jobs they ended up with, too. But the teacher said we shouldn't take these things too seriously. Well, try telling that to Edward Mealy. Last year, he got sanitation worker on his job chart, and the teachers have been treating him different ever since. I once heard a teacher say, "Edward, could you please clean up this juice spill?" Rowley got nurse on his job chart, and he seemed pretty happy about it. A couple of girls got nurse, too. And they were chatting away with Rowley after class. Next year, I have to remember to sit next to Rowley and copy his job form so I can get in on some of that action. Saturday. Me and Roderick were just sitting around the house today, so Mom sent us over to Grandma's to rake her leaves. Mom said she'd pay us $100 in Mom bucks for each bag we filled. Plus, Grandma said she'd give us hot chocolate after we were finished. I really didn't feel like working on a Saturday, but I needed the cash. Besides, Grandma makes really awesome hot chocolate. So we got some rakes and plastic bags from our garage and headed down to Grandma's house. I took one side of the yard, and Roderick took the other. But 10 minutes into the job, Roderick came over and told me I was doing everything all wrong. Roderick said I was putting way too many leaves in each bag, and that if I just tied the bag closer to the bottom, I could get done a lot quicker. See, now this is the kind of advice you're supposed to get from your older brother. After Roderick showed me that trick, we went through bags like nobody's business. In fact, we ran out in half an hour. Grandma didn't seem too happy about forking over the hot chocolate when we came inside. But like they say, a deal's a deal. Monday. Ever since career day, Rowley has been spending lunch with a bunch of girls who sit at the corner table in the cafeteria. I guess the group of them is like the future nurses of America or something. Don't ask me what they talk about over there. They just whisper and giggle like a bunch of first graders. All I can say is, they better not be talking about me. You remember how I said Roderick is the only one who knows about that really embarrassing thing that happened to me over the summer? Well, Rowley knows the second most embarrassing thing that ever happened to me, and I really don't need him digging it back up. Back in fifth grade, we had a project in Spanish where we had to do a skit in front of the class, and my partner was Rowley. We had to do the whole skit in Spanish. Rowley asked me what I would do for a candy bar, and I said I'd stand on my head. But when I tried to do a headstand, I tipped over and my rear end went right through the wall. Estario parado en mi, ay, ay, ay! Well, the school never bothered to fix the hole. So for the rest of my time in elementary school, my butt print was on display in Mrs. Gonzalez's room. And if Rowley's spreading that story around, believe me, I'm going to tell the whole world who ate the cheese. Wednesday. Today I realized that if I wanted to know what Rowley and those girls are talking about at lunch, all I have to do is read his diary. I'll bet he's writing down all sorts of juicy gossip in that thing. The problem is, Rowley's diary is locked, so even if I got a hold of it, I wouldn't have any way to open it. But then I thought of something. All I had to do was buy the same exact diary he has, and then I'd have a key. So I went to the bookstore tonight and got the last one on the shelf. I just hope buying this thing was worth it, because I had to cash in half of my mom bucks to pay for it. And I don't think Dad was too thrilled with the idea of me buying a sweet secrets diary either. Thursday. After phys ed today, I saw that Rowley accidentally left his diary on the bench. So when the coast was clear, I used my new key on his diary, and sure enough, it worked. I opened it up and started reading.
Dear Diary, today I played with my Dino Blazer action figures again. It was Mecha-Rex versus Triceratops, and Mecha-Rex bited Triceratops in the tail. And then Triceratops turned around and said, "Oh yeah? Well, how do you like that?" And he shot Mecha-Rex right in the hiney.
I flipped through the rest of the book to see if my name was in there anywhere, but it was just page after page of this garbage. After seeing what's going on in Rowley's head, I'm kind of starting to wonder why I'm even friends with him in the first place. Saturday. Things at home have been really good for about a week. Roderick has the flu, so he doesn't have the energy to bother me. And Manny has been at Grandma's, so I've had the TV all to myself. Yesterday, Mom and Dad made a surprise announcement. They said they were going away for the night, and that me and Roderick were in charge of the house. That was some pretty big news, because Mom and Dad have never left me and Roderick on our own before. I think they've always been afraid that if they go away, Roderick is going to have a huge party and trash the house. But with Roderick knocked out with the flu, they must have seen their big chance. So after Mom gave us a speech about responsibility and trust and all that, they took off. The second Mom and Dad walked out the door, Roderick jumped up off of the couch and picked up the phone. Then he called every friend he knew and told them he was having a party. I thought about calling Mom and Dad to tell them what Roderick was up to, but I've never actually been to a high school party before, so I was curious. I decided to just keep my mouth shut and soak it all in. Roderick told me to get some folding tables out of the basement and bring a couple of bags of ice out of the downstairs freezer. Roderick's friends started to show up around 7 o'clock, and before you knew it, there were cars parked up and down the street. The first person to walk through the door was Roderick's friend Ward. A bunch more people started showing up after that, and Roderick told me we were going to need more tables, so I went downstairs to get them. But as soon as I stepped foot in the basement, I heard the door lock behind me. I pounded on the door, but Roderick just cranked up the music to drown me out, so I was stuck down there. Man, I should have known Roderick would go and pull something like that. I guess it was pretty dumb of me to think Roderick was going to let me in on the action. It sounded like it was a pretty wild party. I think some girls even showed up at one point, but I couldn't be too sure, because it was hard to keep track of what was going on from just looking at the bottoms of people's shoes through the crack at the bottom of the door. The party was still going strong at 2 a.m., but that's when I gave up. I spent the night on one of the spare beds in the basement, even though there were no blankets on it. I practically froze to death, but there was no way I was going to use a blanket from Roderick's bed. Somebody must have unlocked the basement door overnight, because when I woke up this morning, it was open. And when I walked upstairs, it looked like a tornado had touched down in the family room. The last of Roderick's friends wasn't gone until 3 p.m, and once everyone left, Roderick told me I had to help him clean up. I told Roderick he was out of his mind if he thought I was helping. But then Roderick said that if he got busted for the party, he was taking me down with him. He said if I didn't help him clean up the mess, he would tell all my friends about the thing that happened to me this summer. I couldn't believe Roderick would play dirty like that, but I could tell he was serious, so I just got to work. Mom and Dad were supposed to be back by 7 o'clock, and we still had a ton of work to do. It wasn't easy to erase all the evidence of the party, because Roderick's friends had left trash in all these crazy places. At one point, when I went to make myself a bowl of cereal, a half-eaten piece of pizza fell out of the box. By 6:45, we had things pretty well wrapped up. I went upstairs to take a shower, and that's when I saw the message written on the inside of the bathroom door. Some moron had scrawled, "Hi, Roderick." I tried scrubbing the writing off with soap and water, but whoever wrote that thing must have used a permanent marker. Mom and Dad were going to be home any minute, so I thought we were doomed. But then Roderick had a genius idea. He said we could switch the door out and replace it with a closet door from the basement. So we got some screwdrivers and went to work. We finally managed to get the door off its hinges, and then we carried it downstairs. Then we got the closet door from Roderick's room in the basement and brought it upstairs. We made it with no time to spare. Mom and Dad's car rolled into the driveway right when we were tightening the last screw. You could tell they were pretty relieved the house hadn't burned down while they were away. I don't think we're totally out of the woods just yet, because with the way Dad was poking around tonight, I'm sure it won't be long before he figures out about the party. Well, Roderick might have lucked out this time, but all I can say is he should be glad Manny wasn't there to see the party. Manny is a huge tattletale. In fact, he's been telling on me ever since he could talk. He's even told on me for stuff I did before he could talk. When I was a kid, I broke the sliding glass door in the family room. Mom and Dad didn't have any evidence that I was the one who did it, so they couldn't peg it on me, and I was in the clear. But Manny was there when it happened, and 2 years later, he squealed on me. He said, "Bubby won't walk at big window." So, after Manny started talking, I had to worry about all the bad things he saw me do when he was a baby. I used to be a big tattletale myself, until I learned my lesson. One time, I told on Roderick for saying a bad word. Mom asked me which word he said, so I spelled it out. And it was a long one, too. Well, I ended up getting a bar of soap in my mouth for knowing how to spell a bad word. And Roderick
got off scot-free. Monday. Tomorrow, I have an English assignment due where I have to write an allegory. That's basically a story that says one thing but means something else. I was having trouble getting inspired, but then I saw Roderick outside working on his van, and I got an idea. Rory Screws Up by Greg Heffley. Once upon a time, there was this monkey named Rory. The family he lived with loved him very much, even though he was constantly screwing things up. One day, Rory accidentally rang the doorbell, and everybody thought he did it on purpose, so they gave him some bananas as a reward. Well, now Rory was going around thinking he was some sort of monkey genius or something, and one day he heard his owner say, "My dang car is broke." So Rory's primitive mind raced to formulate a plan, and here is what he eventually came up with.
Rory, fix car.
Rory worked all day and all night, and to make a long story short, the end result was not a fixed car. After it was all over, Rory had learned a very valuable lesson. Rory is a monkey, and monkeys don't fix cars. The end. After I finished my paper, I showed it to Roderick. I figured he wouldn't get it, and sure enough, I was right. He only said,
"Monkeys don't understand English, stupid."
Like I said before, Roderick knows he's got me under his thumb with this secret thing, so I have to get my licks in any way I can. Wednesday. Today was Manny's first day of preschool, and apparently it didn't go so great. All the other kids at Manny's school started back in September, but Manny wasn't potty trained until last week, so that's why he had to wait until now to make the jump from daycare. Manny's preschool was having their Halloween party today, so it wasn't the greatest way to introduce him to his classmates, considering they were all wearing these scary masks. Manny's teachers had to call Mom at work and have her come get him. He was hiding on the top shelf of the coat rack. I remember my first day of preschool. I didn't really know anyone, so I was pretty scared about being around a bunch of new kids. But this boy named Quinn came right over and started talking to me. He said, "Do you like ice cream?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Then why don't you marry it?" I didn't get that it was a joke, so it really freaked me out. An ice cream cone for a wife? I told Mom I didn't want to go back to preschool, and I told her all about Quinn and what he said. But Mom told me Quinn was just being silly, and I didn't need to listen to him. After Mom explained the joke, I actually thought it was pretty funny. I couldn't wait to go back to school the next day and try it out myself. But I got confused and blurted, "You're gonna grow up and get married to some ice cream." So it didn't really have the same effect.
This ends Disc 1.